You see young people migrating because there's simply no jobs at the coast anymore. What their dads and generation before them did is not possible anymore.
Follow the money.
This is the podcast of the European Investigative Newsroom, Follow the Money. I'm your host, Emma de Chatigné, recording from Brussels. And as always, I'm joined by Follow the Money reporter and my co-host, Alexander Fanta in Vienna. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Emma.
In this episode, we're taking a look at European fishing companies that have a big appetite for West Africa's waters. In Senegal, the ocean is a lifeline. It provides food, jobs, and exports. Fishing is the backbone of the economy, but European companies are plundering Senegal's seas. They found a way to keep hauling in catches and cashing in on Senegal's fisheries, all while ignoring the European Union's own rules. To dive deeper into the story, today we're joined by two investigative journalists, Hans Wetzels and Remy Keller. Welcome, Hans and Remy.
Morning.
Thank you.
Hans and Remy revealed how a large part of Senegal's fishing industry is effectively in foreign hands. Hans, you went to Senegal to investigate the story. What did you find there?
We found out that there's industrial fishing boats flying Senegalese flags, but in fact owned by EU companies that engage in all kinds of illegal activities, thereby exacerbating the problem of overfishing and thus food security at the Senegalese coast.
And what made you want to look into the story in the first place?
Well, actually, my starting point was the migration angle. The Senegal route, as it's called, is one of the most active, according to Frontex, most active migration routes into the European Union, where you see fishermen from the Senegalese coast. They take these wooden boats and they try to reach the Canary Islands and from there travel on to Spain. And at the same time, I read all kinds of stories about overfishing at the Senegalese coast, and I figured, how are these connected? What's the story here? So, well, just booked plane tickets, flew out to the Canary Islands to talk to migrants there about why they decided to take this super dangerous journey. And then I flew on to Senegal with Michael Rehberge, who's a great photographer. And he makes these great analog photos to go with the stories we published. Traveled up and down the coast to talk to fishermen, talk to politicians, talk to business people, try to find out as much as we could in about the months that we spent there.
And Remy, while Hans was already in Senegal, you joined in on this story. How did that happen?
So I heard from one of the editors in chief that Hans was in Senegal investigating fisheries. I have a bit of a fascination for fisheries for quite some time already. And in the past, I worked in West Africa doing research on conflicts between industrial trawlers and small-scale fishers, illegal fisheries. So I thought, like, okay, let's reach out to Hans and I might be able to help him.
Remy tracked, while being in Amsterdam, a couple of these boats we knew that were suspected of all kinds of, well, illegal, semi-legal activity surrounded by all kinds of rumors. And he called me, was like, look, a couple of these boats are right now at the port of Dakar. Can you get yourself into the port and verify physically whether or not these boats are there? Because supposedly these boats carrying this Senegalese flag were docked at the pier of a Spanish company.
So Remy was checking them in Amsterdam online and then send you in Senegal to go track these boats in person.
Exactly.
We tracked down these companies. Okay, which companies are actually active? We got the hand of like the list of trawlers being active in Senegal, and then we linked them to two foreign companies and checked, okay, which companies own which boats.
And it was an interesting way of collaborating, right? Because Remy used all these marine traffic tools to establish that the boats were there, but you're never 100% sure. I had to get myself into the port. So in the end, we were able to verify that those boats were at that point docked at a specific pier, which was owned by a specific Spanish company, thereby confirming that our suspicions were true.
And for context, what should we know about Senegal and fishing?
Okay, so as in many countries on the Gulf of Guinea in West Africa, fisheries is are really important, right? Like in terms of like food security, food sovereignty, for a large extent for protein intake, they rely on small pelagics, fish such as sardines. These are small fish which reproduce fast and are really nutrient rich. People make a livelihood out of it. So it's from the fisherman, it's from the trader, it's from the women who process the fish up to, people selling it in neighboring countries. So hugely important, not only for food security, food sovereignty, but also for livelihoods, community building, etc.
Hans, how did you experience that on the ground when you were traveling there?
Well, I mean, it's a fisheries economy. And basically, if you're traveling up and down the coast like we did, everything revolves around fish. Fish are basically everywhere. You cannot get rid of the smell at some point. There's the Senegalese national dish, Djibougen. It's basically rice with fish and different kinds of spices. You have like thousands of these colored wooden boats, pirogues, and they go onto the ocean every day for like 8 hours, 9 hours to fish. They come back every day. They sell the fish right at the beach to either small traders or women processors that smoke or dry the fish. And they go to the market, sell the fish to families. So it's economically, it's super important, but also it's what people eat every day.
And beyond the region itself, of course, Europe is also very interested in Senegal's fishing market. Where does this interest from the EU come from?
The EU is the most highly valued market in terms of fisheries products in the world. So you fetch the highest price for your fish here. So that's why many countries want to export to the EU.
Because within the EU, it's used, the fish is eaten by consumers, or what is it? What is the fish used for?
Mostly consumer fish. So there's in fisheries, you have industrial fisheries for fish meal and fish oil, but there's also a lot of fish just being consumed, right? Between the EU and Senegal. There used to be a treaty under which not only European companies could fish for tuna and hake, but also for bottom-dwelling species, as fish with bottom trawls. These bottom trawlers, especially, these are quite like old bottom trawlers. They get a lot of bycatch. So when you fish for a certain species, you get like an X amount of kilos of extra species you catch in your nets. Yeah, sometimes they're landed, sometimes they're just dumped overboard. So the impact was quite high. So it resulted in overfishing. And last catch also for the artisanal fishermen, which a large part of the, especially the local coastal economies are relying on. So a lot of protests against these bottom trawlers in Senegal, and therefore the agreement got suspended.
So the agreement being suspended, did that mean that European companies no longer had access to the Senegalese market?
Yeah, exactly. But many of these European companies, they stayed and they thought like, okay, this agreement is off. Let's set up joint ventures with Senegalese companies.
You set up a joint venture as a European company in Senegal, and because you fly the Senegalese flag, you immediately get access to waters, fishing grounds in neighboring countries, because there's bilateral agreements between Senegal, Mauritania, Gambia, Liberia, whatever. But it was never supposed to work that way. It was never supposed that European companies get access to these waters.
So we have European companies still fishing in Senegalese waters, but under a Senegalese flag. Does that mean that Senegal does still get money from those fishing expeditions, or does that mean that it directly flows to Europe?
Much of those financial streams are quite opaque, also because it's like company info, and that's for obvious reasons not always public. There has been some research done by Greenpeace, but also by the Western African Central Bank, who have calculated and rung the alarm about basically as a fisherman translated on a beach near Saint-Louis, it's like, hey, the fish go out, no money comes back. It stays in Europe with the parent companies.
And for your investigation, you also spoke with the chairman of the local fisheries council, which you quote in your article. And this person told you many boats with European owners are fishing in such a way that there's absolutely nothing left for us. And can you explain a bit more about what he meant by that?
One of the problems along the think the entire African coast in that region is that there's declining catch. Fish stocks are under threat, et cetera, and so forth. And to be sure, that's not only because of this problem, right? There's climate change that changes migration patterns for fish. There's also, you have explosive growth of populations in country like Senegal. So the number of local fishermen also increases, and it's all adds to the problem. But what you also see is that these industrial fishing boats, trawlers, they come closer to the shore. They use sardines as bait to fish for other species in the high seas. They come close to the shore at night. I've heard many stories from fishermen saying, look, there's these industrial trawlers. They come at night. They dim their lights, so we cannot see them anymore. And under the guise of, the darkness, they start fishing close to the shore where they know they're not supposed to come, because there's 22 kilometers of coastal zone that's legally reserved for small artisanal fisheries. And then you have all kinds of stories about, people getting killed because their wooden boat at night clashes with a big industrial trawl. So it's all kind of these stories that happen all along the coast.
New agreement between the EU and Senegal was supposed to make fishery in Senegal more sustainable. And what did that agreement say?
The idea is that agreement, the Sustainable Fisheries Partnership Agreement, the SFPA, only allows EU vessels to fish for tuna and hake, which are the deep sea species Senegalese fishermen do not fish for, because they only mainly stick to this coastal zone fishing for smaller fish. The treaty regulates that in such a way that becomes more sustainable, and that Senegal also can make some money with that, because the EU has to pay Senegal for access to its territorial waters. The idea was to pay Senegal, I think it was 1.7 million yearly, to make their fisheries sector more sustainable and also, develop it a little bit more.
So the EU, they try to use their market buying force to act as the global leader, like moral leader in terms of fishery sustainability. So when a country systematically allows illegal fisheries to happen or unsustainable practices on a large scale, they can use this market buying power and ban exports to the EU, which can cost the country a lot of money. That's when you get a red card, you really get banned from exporting to the EU. And they have a yellow card system, which is basically a big warning. Okay, if you don't do X, Y, Z, you're getting a red card and you're going to get banned and you can't export to the EU anymore. The EU has given a yellow card to Senegal because they don't control their fleet well enough. They let Asian vessels fish in neighboring waters, flying under like Senegalese agreements. But with European countries actually setting up joint ventures in countries such as Senegal, and the EU not being able to regulate them, that sort of undermines this moral leadership, and not doing anything about it makes the EU as moral leader in the world of fisheries worldwide, it makes it quite hypocritical and way less effective, because it doesn't really work, right? When you say, okay, you should control the Chinese boats setting up foreign joint ventures in your country, do something about it, while at the same time, you have EU companies doing the same.
The EU tells the Senegalese government basically, hey guys, you're not sticking by the rules. There's all kinds of illegal fishing activity in your waters. EU mainly implies that's Chinese and Asian vessels. But then we found out there's a lot of these vessels owned by European companies, which makes it a very double standard on the EU side, because in Europe, we are not willing to go after the owners of these vessels, because we say, hey, officially these are Senegalese, so we're not able to do anything about this.
So Europe is pointing the finger to Senegal, but also to Chinese companies. They're saying, okay, these are overfishing Senegal. It's terrible. But what you're saying is Europe is actually doing the same thing through these joint ventures.
Yeah. I mean, we're not in that sense, we're not doing the same thing. We are allowing our own companies to get away with it while we either know it or we choose to not know it. I mean, when I was in Dakar, I went to the EU representation and talked to the ambassador, and he basically told me when I confronted him with the issues I heard about while traveling there, it's like, no, but these are Senegalese companies and we're not able to do anything about it because that's the responsibility of the Senegalese government. So this is how the joint venture system works, is you fly the Senegalese flag, the EU is able to say, hey, this is not our problem, while knowing full well that these are, in the end, European companies. There's all kinds of incidents on the high seas, Sea Shepherd boarding, fishing trawlers, and seeing that companies are just not abiding by safety regulation, whatever, these things. And then it turned out that it was like 38% of EU vessels that were engaged in activities in West African countries had at some point broken a law. So that would imply that we as EU would do something about that, but we don't. Because we shove it off to these African governments and saying, hey, it's your responsibility. And then they're not able to do something because, you know, Senegalese government doesn't have that much money or capacities to check everything that's going on. And then we come in and say, here's the yellow card because you're not abiding by the rules.
And next to fishing, Senegal is also a very important country for the EU when it comes to migration. The European Commission has said that it would pay Senegal 30 million euros to help the countries to stop migrants from making their way to the EU. And we have already talked about it a little bit, but how is that connected to this fishing story?
If the entire economy of a country is dependent on fisheries and there's less catches, that will have ripple effects through the entire economy. So you see young people migrating because there's simply no jobs at the coast anymore, because what their dads and generation before them did is not possible anymore because there's more boats competing for less fish. So you seek your chances elsewhere and you jump onto a wooden boat and take a dangerous journey to Europe because supposedly that's where you can still earn money because in your own country, there's not much of a future left for you. What the EU is doing is that the EU supports like the Senegalese Coast Guard to stop human trafficking and stop boats from leaving for the Canary Islands, right?
So on the one hand, we have these European companies that are hurting Senegal's economy and make people leave the country. And then at the same time, we have the EU giving money to the Senegalese government to stop migrants from leaving the country.
Yeah, exactly. We should be conscious that this is a very dangerous journey and people don't do this because they think, hey, nice, let's go on a boat trip to Europe, right? It's a conscious choice for which the push factor in the country of origin is the biggest factor. And what the EU could do, instead of only saying, look, we're going to give you like 5.75 million a year, or I think that was the exact amount, I'm not entirely sure, just to stop human trafficking. You can also say, hey, we're going to support your Coast Guard. We're going to support the government to track down ships fishing illegally, going to the root of the problem.
And that's where we'll leave it for today. Thank you so much, Hans and Reni. And Alex and I will be back soon for another episode. You can find the story about Hans and Reni on ftn.eu and in the show notes.
You've listened to the podcast of Follow the Money. Our watchdog journalism is funded by our members. Subscribe and support European investigative journalism.